So this month, we're talking about humility. And it's a tough, you know, it's a topic that I think sometimes it's hard to understand at times. And if you guys missed last week, please go back and listen to Burrell's message. Amazing message. Thank you so much for that, Burrell. But today I want us to lead us into some aspect of humility. Is I want us to take a journey to find humility. Well, what is humility and how do I find that? All right, so this morning as we journey together, if you would turn your Bible over to Romans chapter 7 and just hold that in there. Romans chapter 7. I put some definition up here, some aspects of humility that I want us to think about. So humility is a modest and accurate view of oneself. Humility is a state of being a lifelong learner and authentic. Humility is the ability to see life as it really is and act accordingly. And humility is to live knowing that God is God. Because I think if we truly understand that God is God and that I live that, I must bow down and worship Him. And all the things that I try to do is in reverence to God. So I think the two most important things that we need to talk about this morning, two crucial things that we got to understand in order to find humility, is one, we got to see how we view ourselves, right? The accurate view of ourselves. And then two is understanding God's view of humility. All right? So the first one is an accurate view of myself. Now we sing that song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. Right? And I think sometimes the world's view of, you know, of ourselves is very different than what the biblical view of ourselves is like. You know, notice that I'm not saying that being humble is thinking everybody's better than me, right? Or everybody's so much better than me. I'm just a derelict. Or not thinking about, you know, I'm so high than other people. Humility begins with an accurate view of ourselves, not seeing ourselves higher than we are, nor lower than what we truly are. Let's read. If you're there in Romans chapter 7. We'll start in verse 14. It says, we know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. Sold as a slave to sin, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am! Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. That's pretty heavy. But that's the accurate view of ourselves. You know, there's inside of us an internal struggle. You know, we may come here and just put up a great, you know, picture of who we are. But when you're alone and your closest friend and your husband and your wife and your kids, they see who you really are at home. And there's an internal struggle within us to do what is right. But yet there's also an internal thing that's telling us to do what is wrong. You see, there's a fight inside of us. We are all sinners that need God to save us. We need God to save us. We cannot do this on our own. So sometimes we have a distorted and inaccurate view of ourselves. You know, the opposite of humility is not arrogance. It is ignorance. Ignorance of who we are and who God is. And I think sometimes we think, okay, well, you know, it's probably arrogant, but, you know, it's really ignorant because we don't know who we are and who God is. You know, if we are humbly honest with ourselves, we will admit that we're not that smart. We're not that smart. We, you know, only by God's grace that we have the opportunity to accomplish what we did. I'm not smart enough to pick out my wife. But God, in His grace, He gave her to me to help me. I'm not smart enough to pick out my friends. But God was so gracious that He gave you guys to help me. See, left up to me, I would mess things up. I would totally mess things up. See, understanding God, understanding us, we have to be sober. We can't take arrogant credit for the success we have in life. But we got to just be relieved that God is involved. I have a friend that this is what he tells me all the time. He says, we are not smart enough to be successful without God, but we are not dumb enough to mess it up if God is in it. Isn't that true? We're not that smart to be successful without God, but we're not that dumb enough if God is in it. See, that's a sober estimate of ourselves. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. See, sometimes we have this inflated version of ourselves. He says, no, be sober of who you are. See, humility directs us towards an accurate view of ourselves. We should not be arrogant, but be thankful on how God gave us the opportunity to be where we are today. Humility should surround us with thanksgiving. Humility should also cause the sense of entitlement that some of us have to evaporate. If we are really in touch with our sinful nature, we should of all people be able to apologize and to say I'm sorry when we're made aware of that. Humility, understanding who we are. You know, in fact, the biblical view of life so that we should be willing to talk about our weaknesses. Willing to talk about our weaknesses. Look at these some scriptures here. It says, who is weak and I'm not weak? Who is made to stumble and I'm not indignant? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast of all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardship, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. You know, I was baptized in Athens in 1989, August 1989, at 7:35 p.m. in a little building off of Research Drive. And after a while, you know, my parents did not like me going to church and the newfound church that I've been going to. And they said, you know, hey, you know, if you continue to go to that church, we're going to cut you off financially. And they did. And you know, I was so hurt. And my parents were so hurt that a few months later, I left. I fell away. Because I saw the hurt in my mom. I saw the hurt in my dad. The pain that they're going through. The betrayal that they felt. And I'm trying to convince them it's not church. It's not this church and that church. It's not about being American or Hmong. It's about Jesus. But they couldn't see it. They saw it as a church thing. And I was leaving the family. And I was leaving the culture. And I was leaving my people to be with an American church. And it was hard. It was difficult. And so I left. I couldn't take it anymore. I left for 4.5 years. And I went back to church. I went back to my old church. And, you know, I went to church, but I was numb. I was numb because the doctrine that I grew up with was not accurate. And so I had a heart in my heart to where I couldn't even feel anymore. So I left. I went back, and I started just doing things. And I actually went out to Colorado. My brother was in Colorado, and you know, I tried to run away. Try to just get out of Atlanta, just to be away. I went to Colorado, and God was there too. Colorado is so beautiful. I mean, you go to Colorado, you can't just like, oh my God, there's God here. So I went to Colorado, and just hang out and just have a great time. And I was empty. And I tell you, those 4 years, I was still reading my Bible. And I was still praying. But it was like you were eating and you could not swallow. You kept putting food in your mouth and you couldn't swallow. I couldn't swallow it. And I was so lonely. I was so depressed. Because I had the fellowship with God. And I left it. And I walked away for 4.5 years. And some of you guys know me and some of you guys don't know me. And that's what happened to me. But God, because of his great mercy and faithfulness to me, he called me back. It is so funny that he called me back, and 3 months later, I was on a plane on a mission team to Thailand. I was like, who sends a guy who fell away 3 months later to Thailand? That's not a good recipe for you know, for great things to happen, right? And I was so insecure. I'm like, why am I going to Thailand? They were going to start an underground church in Laos. And that's what I was part of. We're going to go and train to be the underground church in Laos, my home country. And I felt so unworthy. Like, who am I? There's so many people that you could pick. But you know, God, he kept saying, it's like, it's not about you. It's not about you being prepared. You just got to be available. Okay, I get it, God. I'm available. Send me. But you know, I think about those 4 years of my life that I walked away. And a part of me was ashamed. A part of me was ashamed that if I tell you guys that, if you guys knew that about me, you would think less of me. You'd be like, man, what, why? What's wrong with you? I couldn't tell people that. I was so afraid. I was afraid of what people would think of me. I was afraid of what people would say. I was afraid that people would never put me in leadership. I was afraid that what would people think of me and my family? But see, God, in his great mercy, called me back. Allowed me to come back. To share with you with those things that there's never, never a time that you're too far off from God. That you're out of reach. That no matter what happens, God is saying, I'm still here. Come back. I was that prodigal son. I was that prodigal son. I was eating with the pigs. I was eating with the pigs. Did not want to do that. I remember, oh my goodness, my father's house had plenty. And I left, and I'm eating with the pigs. You see, sometimes we don't boast about our weakness. We think our weakness is something to be ashamed of. This is the power of God. The fact that I'm standing here speaking to you is the power of God. Those 4 years, I would never imagine to be speaking to you guys. It is God, the power of God. Boast in your weaknesses. Share what God has done for you, His glory. You see, the world tells us to keep the weakness away from people. The world tells us only tell people about the good things about you. But God says, I will boast in my weaknesses. For when I'm weak, then I am strong. You know, I think sometimes we don't understand the accurate view of ourselves. And so we get all bent out of shape because, well, people are not using me the way I think I need to be used. Well, I could do better than you, John. I can preach. People are not using me. Or I'm not getting what I want, and so I'm ready to leave. Let me just go somewhere else. Do you have an accurate view of yourself? Without God in our life, we would just mess it up. Don't leave. Stay with God. Be humble. Understand yourself before God. The next question is understanding God's view of humility. We have to have an understanding of who we are, but we got to understand God's view of humility. You know, God is all for it in His people. You know, He wants us to seek it. He wants us to live it. He wants us to be it. You know, humility is not something we do. Humility is something, it's who we are. You can't, you know how sometimes we get in a situation where like, well, I got to pull out that humility card. Oh man, I got to be humble. And you try to be humble. And it just comes off weird. Because it's not who you are. It's just something you do. See, humility needs to become something that lives inside of us. To be humble. You know, God wants us to be humble. And woe to the one who chooses not to live that way. Listen to this litany of verses that shows God how God thinks about humble people and how He blesses them. And also, you know, how He reveals how God actively works against those who are not. It says, for you, God, deliver a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. It says, He will deliver the humble, but the people with the haughty eyes, the arrogant and the prideful, says, He will bring you down. God will deliver those who are humble, but He will bring you down. For the Lord takes pleasure in His people. He adorns the humble with victory. Man, I want to have victories. But it says, He will adorn the humble with victories. He will give victory to you if you're humble. When pride comes, then comes disgrace. But wisdom is with the humble. You know that if you're humble, you can get wisdom? Everybody wants wisdom. But are you willing to be humble to get it? Willing to ask? Willing to get advice? Willing to go beyond just what you know? But willing to ask for humility and wisdom? Toward the scorners, He is scornful. But to the humble, He shows favor. Says He wants to show you favor. I want to be favored by God. I want Him to show me favor. I need a lot of favor. Please, give me favors. Imagine God giving me favor. All these things my hand has made, and so all these things are mine, says the Lord. But this is the one to whom I will look, to the humble and contrite in spirit, who trembles at my word. He says, I made all these things, but I will look to those who are humble and contrite in spirit, and they tremble at my word. Do we tremble at God's word? Or is it just something we just do And we come and we hear. We come and we hear so much that we actually hear nothing. Because God's word, we don't tremble at it anymore. It's just something we do. See, God looks at those people. He looks to the humble. What does humility look like? We like people who say, "I'm sorry, forgive me." We like people who make fun of themselves, who don't take themselves too seriously. We like, you know, we don't want people to unnecessarily toot their own horns, right? We're drawn towards humble people. Humble people, we like. We want to have dinner with them. We want to go out. We want to be with them because they're humble. It draws us. You know, just like our weaknesses, when we boast about our weaknesses, we actually build bridges. We actually have connection because of our weaknesses. Because when we just boast about all the good things we've done, we don't build any bridges. People just think, well, this guy is just arrogant. But if we are humble, how God sees humble. You know, we like those who try to build other people up. We like those that always bring people up, encourage one another. We just don't like it when we're with people who are just arrogant about themselves and about their accomplishment, about what they know. You know, God opposes the proud. It says, all of you, close yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. It says he opposes the proud. Opposes is an action word. It's not a noun. He is actively opposing you when you're prideful. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want God to be actively opposing me. And sometimes we feel like it's just not working. The things that I want to happen, it's just not working. Could it be the fact that he's opposing you? Could it be the fact that he's like, you got to humble out. And he's actively opposing you. And you're just spinning your wheel. And you get frustrated. And you get angry at other people. And you get angry at God. Because simply, he's just opposing you. He's got his little pinky on you. And you're not moving anywhere until you humble out. And it says that he may lift you up in due time. Our time is like, now, God. Raise me up. God's like, no, not now. Got a little bit of time to go. And we hate it. We hate it because we want it now. We don't understand why God is doing the things that he's doing. And so we buckle against it. We fight it. We're angry. We're resentful of people. We think those people are holding us down. It's not them. It's God. God is holding you down because you're arrogant and you're prideful. He says, humble out. I will lift you up in due time. It's hard. But trust me, he will lift you up in due time. That's his promise. And God is not like us who we renege on our promises. God is somebody that he is a person of his word. When he says it, it's going to get done. Do I really believe that? It's about our faith. Do I really believe that? Or am I going to try to make this happen on my own? See, God, understand God and the way he views humility. Mark chapter 10, it says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. You know, Jesus said this. He says, the Son of Man. He even gave him a title that is so lowly, the Son of Man. I'm just the Son of Man. I'm not the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm just the Son of Man. Jesus was so incredibly humble. Even though he was God in the flesh, even though he could do anything, he did it in the Old Testament. He made the Israelites walk through dry ground in the Red Sea. He did it again in the River Jordan. He defeated all those armies. And yet he called himself the Son of Man. I'm just the Son of Man. If Jesus can be like that, how much more do we need to be? How much more do we need to humble ourselves? What does it look like? Turn with me to Luke 14. Luke 14. We'll read here. We'll end here. Luke 14, we'll start in verse 7. Says, when he noticed how the guests picked a place of honor at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honor, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, give this man your seat. Then humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place. So when the host comes, he will say to you, friend, move up to a better place. Then you will be honored in the presence of your fellow guests. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Jesus is talking about, you know, going to parties. Don't go and just sit in the highest seat. Because other people might come and they might have to ask you to give up your seat for those people. But instead, go sit in a lowly seat. So when the host comes, he'll say, oh, come up here. Come sit up here. You see how he wants us to be humble? How he wants us to take the lowly place? How he wants us to understand our place and our accurate view of ourselves? You know, I appreciate Austin so much. You know, we studied about Austin a couple of years ago. And his heart is always like, I want to serve. I just want to serve. I don't know everything, but I just want to serve. And he's been just hanging out with the teens all by himself. Like nobody asked him to. He's in college, he's with the campus ministry, but yet he still have time to just hang out with the teens and just be their friends. And I look at that and I'm like, wow, that's an amazing, a humble heart that I'm just going to do what I can. Nobody asked me to do anything, but I'm just going to serve. I'm going to serve. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. You know, there is a famous painter, German painter. He painted this when he was 86 years old. Sieger Kölder, and you know, Jesus is washing the feet of Peter here. Now, this is an amazing picture because this is the truest kind of humility that we can see. That God washing his own creation's feet. That God is washing Peter's feet to his own creation. That's how humble he is. Jesus, I am humble and gentle. God washing his own creation's feet. If Jesus was that humble, what about us? Are we willing to wash each other's feet? Are we willing to serve one another without complaining? Are we willing to give to one another? Are we willing to serve our young people, our middle schoolers, and our teens? Are we willing to teach? Are we willing to serve in a kid's kingdom, to make an impact for them, to give them Jesus, a sight of Jesus? Or do we just want to teach and preach? And yet God says, the kids need you. See, God washing his own creation's feet. I love this picture. I love this painting because it reminds me of who I am without God, of what God sees in humility, and how much God loves it that his people are humble, that his people are after humility, that it's not something we do, but it's who we are. And I encourage us, church. I encourage it. Something, you know, sometimes we think, oh, humility is like, I got to do humility. No, humility is a joy. Humility should be a joy. A joyful experience. God loves. He loves it when we are humble. I don't want God to oppose us. I want us to have the favor of God each and every day. Thank you so much. I love you guys.